This is the JSTOR update for July 17th, 2016. I'm Filippo Donofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
Hey, we got it this time.
Yay.
Yay. So I don't know if you guys have noticed this week, but Pokemon Go has kind of been a big deal.
Yeah,
it's like we've had people running into trees, people getting hit by cars, people dropping off cliffs for some reason.
DDoS attacks.
Yeah, so, yeah, Pokemon Go is a thing. And while some of us are playing it, we're kind of not going to cover too much in the way of a news story related to it. But there's one in particular that happened this week that kind of we do need to touch on. But beyond that, this will be a mostly Pokemon-free podcast. Because, I'm sure you've had quite a lot in your news feeds about Pokemon Go this week. And, well, we'll give you a little break from that. Besides, we've got a lot of other really good stuff to get to. But before we get to that, let's talk about what we've been playing. And I'll start us off basically by saying, yes, I'm still playing Defense Grid 2. That is a thing that has taken hold of me again, and I don't think it's going to let go for a good while yet.
Nope.
At least until, well, in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about why in a bit.
Or the second coming of Jesus, whichever happens first.
Yeah, I'm thinking in a couple of weeks, but anyways. So that's been my thing. Not a whole lot to say other than if you haven't played Defense Grid 2, go get it. It's fun.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, it's very cheap. It's like $15, so go get it. And so how about you, Pat?
Well, this week has been all about Magic the Gathering for me, just with the Eldritch Moon pre-releases and the whole lead-up to that, so I haven't really been doing much in the way of video games. I went to both the Friday and Saturday pre-releases. My polls were kind of meh on Friday. Totally made up for it last night. So I was happy with that. Basically, my promo last night was Bruna the Fading Light, and then I opened up one of my Eldritch Moon packs and found Gisela the Broken Blade and Liliana the Last Hope in the same pack. So yeah,
which
I had a pretty good pre-release.
Really happens.
Yeah, I was quite pleased with that. That pack alone had like $50 worth of cards in it.
Yeah.
So I... For $17 to get in on the pre-release, that was fantastic.
Yeah. I got out and got to play some local games, so that's pretty cool,
yep,
too.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Actually got to meet a good chunk of the local player base that I'm technically a part of, but never really run into.
Yeah.
But, that was fun. I enjoyed it. Just looking forward to getting back into the swing of things, of course. We're going to be talking about this week's releases, and I've got I Am Setsuna coming up, so that's going to be kind of a cold turkey thrust back into video games.
Yeah.
From the card gaming, so that'll be good. And then and then next Saturday, the Eldritch Moon release is happening in earnest.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting kind of balance for me for a while. How about you, Brandon?
Well, first and foremost, other than playing Fallout, I have been playing Song of the Deep. This is the sort of pseudo-indie game from Insomniac that was distributed exclusively, at least physically, by GameStop. It's basically a kind of underwater Metroidvania type game with like a very sort of storybook aesthetic to it. You're essentially playing this little girl who, lives like, whose father is like a fisherman who one day doesn't come home. And so she decides to build a sort of makeshift rickety submarine and then goes down under the water to try and find what happened to her father. And as she goes on, she discovers that sort of all the sort of tall sailor tales that he used to tell her when she was younger are in fact true. And so she sees all this really you know, really unique stuff. The art, the graphics wise, is very sort of painterly. Kind of reminds me of what was that game that came out a long time ago? It was like a RPG. A little girl in a dream world. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
Child of Light?
Yep, Child of Light. It reminds me a lot of Child of Light without the rhyming scheme.
Yeah. Did get kind of irritating.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm about halfway through it now, I think. It's a very charming game. It's not the greatest game in the world, but it is something that you should give a shot. Because the way I see it, if this game does well enough, then it also means that we'll be able to get more sort of artsy games from big AAA publishers through GameStop.
Yeah.
So we could always use more of that, I guess.
Yeah.
So also, other than that, I'm also playing Fallout, like I said.
Yeah.
Really nothing to add to that so far.
Yeah.
That's about it. About you, Chris?
So, from the flash sale that's going on PSN this week, I picked up Assault Android Cactus and played a good bit of that first chapter, I guess it is, and really enjoying it so far. It has very much like an arcade shooter kind of feel, but also with like a more of a bullet hell kind of style for like some of the bosses. Where they're just shooting tons of bullets and you're trying to dodge them or take as little damage as possible. All the while you have this sort of ticking battery thing going on where you're trying to keep killing enemies so they drop batteries to refill your battery so you can keep going. Since you're an assault android. The thing I really like about it is that they have some cool kind of unlockables that affect the gameplay. The ones I had unlocked just from the bit of credits I've gotten so far was the ability to play the co-op modes with just one player, so you can sort of try really hard stuff. And the other one is the music goes up and down, I guess, with the action. So it kind of just messes with the music a bit, which is, and the music I like really, like it a lot too. There's a cool song called Little Android that earlier I just had it playing on loop as while I was doing stuff. Pretty cool stuff. Definitely recommend that if you don't have it from the flash sale.
It's like $5 right now?
$6.
Yeah.
And there's like daily challenge in infinite mode. I unlocked after beating the first boss, so it seems like I was going to keep offering up a bunch of stuff to do as I go along.
Cool.
The other thing is Hitman, their new elusive target came out this weekend called The Twin. It's supposed to be their hardest yet. I managed to break the AI by doing stupid things. So essentially, the hook here is that The Twin, this elusive target, is supposed to be the hardest yet. And the twin is hanging out with his other twin. They're on the Sapienza, Italy map, which is a big mansion and some little city streets down to a church. And between them, there are some of these there are streets that these two twins are walking just in their routine back and forth. And the hook is, you have to kill the right twin. If you kill the wrong one, it's over. They immediately cancel their bounty or whatever it is on the other one. And the only way that you know there's any difference is the one has a gold watch on his wrist. He's got like a suit jacket on, so it's mostly covering it. So I managed to record this on video. You can see me just constantly pulling the camera down, just trying to see which one of you has the wrist, because they keep constantly moving. Their routines sort of make them switch positions constantly. So even there was one point where I thought I might be able to snipe them, and it's like, nope, they've moved since. I have no idea to tell which one's which. There's no way to like track them because it's the elusive target mode. And the way I ended up beating it is I went and tried to kill a waiter to take his costume, got noticed, went to hunted mode, they were all coming after me. I just ran off back into the apartment building I started in with the safe house. Tried to get a different suit, fucked that up too. They kind of went hiding. They're all in the building. I went outside to a nearby little thing. They couldn't find me. I kind of wandered off. Entire time my suit's compromised, but I look around in this bottom area around the church, and there's only like one or two people that could notice me. So I managed to just go walk around, try and see if I can find anybody I could kill for their suits. Nothing really. Then I had an idea. Well, where's my original outfit that I had that came in with? It's like, oh crap, that's all the way up there. So I go back around the back alleys and manage to get mine. And there's like, I eventually find two people that would be able to figure me out. One was a dude that's just sitting in the ice cream parlor they're at. It's right by where I was at when I messed this all up to begin with. It's like this funny thing because I was in the video. I was like, there's this one guy is just sitting at a table inside of here. Everybody else is outside. This guy's the weird loser. He's the one that's able to, like, I know that guy. He's the one that fucking tried to kill people up here. So I end up wandering around. I find the twins, no guards, because I fucked up all their guard routines with my stunt. And so they're basically sitting guardless, walking around doing their normal routine. And I managed to figure out which one's which. And I just stab one in the back with a poison needle and run off as fast as I could.
Poke. Bye. And
it's like, oh, he's hunted. Like, not if I can get to the car first. And managed to do it. And even proclaiming that I managed to do this by getting them to be guardless, the Hitman Twitter account was at replying me, asking me, how did I do it? So, once I get the video uploaded, I'm going to send it to them.
Yeah.
They're like, this is going to be so hard. We expect nobody to do it. And just fuck it up.
Broke still the beat game. It.
Because they're all looking in this building for me. So obviously they're not going to be hiding with this guy.
Yeah.
So that was fun. We're going to be getting the new like bonus episode coming out on Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to that. And another game I've been playing is Rocket League. Still keep playing it. Managed to get through all my qualification matches on the ranked mode. And played like six or seven matches. Kind of came out even. I won the first couple, lost a few, and then won at the end. And actually had one match that could have been real shitty because we were getting beat pretty good. And then the other two teammates quit. So I'm sitting here all by myself. The other guy's at least nice enough to not be trying hard. They're just hitting the ball around, just fucking around, realizing they've beaten me. I'm not going to be able to beat them. They're just not playing hard, so that was nice. Nice that they weren't just like, yeah, there's only one of them. Let's just fucking get 50 goals. Yeah, just people like to try and forfeit really early if they start getting down. That pisses me off.
Yeah.
So, like, keep playing. That's how you win. Yeah, still trying to get some of the harder achievements on the Xbox One version. Managed to get the Mohawk for one of the original achievements, but still trying to get some of these certified items or painted items and still haven't gotten anything yet there. But yeah, good stuff so far. I think that's it. Me.
Cool. All right, so I guess we'll move on to, yeah, we got a couple of releases coming out on Tuesday. Big one that we're all looking forward to is I Am Setsuna. That's,
yes.
Yeah, that's coming out. We're all excited. We're all going to buy it sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, for free, there's going to be the King of Fighters 14 7-character demo coming out on the PS4.
Yep, that was just announced at Evo.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be downloading that, finally get our hands on KOF 14, see how that game's coming along. Only seven characters, so it's like, I think, 2.1 teams.
But there's an interesting caveat to that, because there's something going on with this demo that never happens with fighting game demos.
Mm-hmm.
Online is enabled.
Really? That's, okay, that's actually very smart of them.
That's brilliant.
I'm really
excited about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like the Street Fighter V approach of getting the, getting the game out to people's hands and hopefully breaking it before it comes out, even though that didn't really help Street Fighter V when it launched.
Yeah.
Still, that's the thought that counts. If you can get a lot of that.
Any bit of insight they can get to what kind of genuine load they're going to be dealing with is a good thing.
Yeah, not only load, but, performance data on various connection types. If you get to get that sorted out before the game launches, you're probably better off.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of good things. And, I Am Setsuna comes out on Tuesday, so life is meaningless until then.
Yeah.
Just like that. We could probably end the show right here because everything is pointless now.
That's depressing.
But we won't. Instead, we'll talk about the PSN flash sale that's going on. Still, I think, a few hours left on this one.
Yeah, it ends Monday afternoon.
Yeah, so, there's some pretty decent stuff there. I mean, if you were a fan of the Ratchet and Clank games, you can pick those up. Apart from the new one, that one's not on sale, but all the other ones are.
Yeah, Salt Android Cactus on sale, like I said earlier, $6.
Hmm.
Crimson Lands on sale for like $2 and change.
Hmm.
If you still haven't grabbed that game, there you go.
Yeah.
A lot of like PS3 retail stuff is on sale. Alongside that,
I grabbed R-Type Dimensions just because I could.
Yeah. Stuff like Fat Princess Adventures is on sale.
Yeah.
That's a good pick up. It's, $6?
Yeah.
$4? $6, yeah. As like a Diablo-like. But with cartoony characters killing people, blood all over the place.
This sounds like something I want to play, so.
And there's The Last of Us Remastered is $8. If you still haven't picked that up, that's a good price for that.
Yeah, that's actually a very good price for that game. Considering it came out at $60.
Yeah, Okami HD is pretty cheap. I'm trying to see how much it is. $4.89.
Yeah.
It's a good price. Neo Contras, $3 for the PS2 on PS3 stuff.
Hmm. But it's still Neo Contra, so that's just kind of the problem.
Yeah.
Plans for Zombies Garden Warfare 2 is $24.
Yeah.
If you want a good shooter. See what else is here. Sleeping Dogs. You can get those either PS3 or PS4 versions for pretty cheap. It's $10 on PS4, which is well worth it with all that DLC.
Yeah, and then you also got the Metro games or the Redux versions that are there for $8 each. So,
which if you can get a hold of them, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, games. Especially Last Light. Awesome. That one is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Timbo the Baddest Elephants, $6.
Yeah, no, just don't.
No.
No.
And there's a bunch of Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell games.
Flashbacks.
Yeah.
Valiant Hearts on sale. And Velocity 2X is $4.
Hmm.
If you like your shmups with a little bit of Metroid in them, that game is fantastic.
Yeah.
Great price for that. So, yeah. Some good stuff there.
Yeah. So, good stuff. I'm glad that Sony is actually going to Steam levels of stupidness as far as their pricing goes.
Yeah.
So, this is going to be a problem if they continue this trend, because our PS4 and PS3 libraries are going to balloon just like our Steam libraries will.
Yeah, we got the big PSN Play promotion coming up soon. They're going to be announcing the lineup on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be interesting. Hoping to see Cosmic Star Heroine up there.
Hmm.
It's supposed to be coming out fairly soon.
Yeah. So is Brutal, by the way.
Yeah.
So, well,
some interesting games that could be in that lineup.
Yeah. I gotta shoot Richard an email and get him get him on the show again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, with the, well, that we're going to talk about our one Pokemon Go story this week.
And unfortunately, we have to talk about it because it's, well, it's very America.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Florida, man,
it's
as hell.
As America as it gets.
Yeah.
And it's also really, really Florida.
Yeah. So, Florida man shooting at fleeing Pokemon Go players, thinking that they were thieves. Because, yeah. Because that's what you do.
Yeah, they were sitting out in their car on the street, which, as far as I can tell, is public property.
Yep.
He heard one of them saying, did you get anything good? Which could reasonably understand thinking that, but if you are a good person, you would take their license plate down and call the cops.
And not them.
Because they were apparently unaware that he was even there, so they could have gotten there just in time to sort it out.
Yeah.
So instead, where in Florida was this?
Not sure they say. They just say Primrose Lane is where they're parked. Flagler County?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Let's say Flagler. It's Palm Coast.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
so he yelled at them. They sped off. He shot one of the rear tires in the fender. They thought they had gotten away with no holes because it was dark. They couldn't necessarily tell, but the one kid's mom found them in the tire, hubcap, and fender. So they reported to the sheriff.
Yeah. So instead of calling the cops, he pulls out a gun and shoots them because this is what you do in Florida, apparently.
We got to recap on this, though. Pokemon Go has been out for how long now?
About a week and a half.
And it has taken a week and a half for somebody to get Second Amendmented over it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's actually
an improvement.
Yeah, that's progress.
And the
I thought somebody was going to get gunned down over it in the first day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that was shooting said he was woken up by a loud noise outside his home. Spotted the car with its brake lights on. Yeah, grabbed his handgun, went outside. Said he heard them saying, "Did you get anything?" And he said, stepped in front of the car and said not to move.
Which probably could have been worded better, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're out there, you're driving around, you're looking for Pokemon, you're not really thinking about crazy people.
You probably kind of should if you're living in Florida.
Yeah, probably, but still, I mean, that's just not called
There's something for. About the combination of the heat and the salt water and the swamp and just all Florida. Of that just mixes together to create crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, see, the sheriff's office warned homeowners to call 911 if they suspect someone's breaking in and avoid leaving the house to confront them.
Yeah. Well, at least nobody was hurt. So, there's that.
Unlike the two guys that fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
Which is also in that link that we provide.
Yeah. That's,
and that's... also the story of the dude playing Pokemon Go with the teen who turned out to be a registered sex offender.
Yeah. That's also a problem. See, Pokemon Go, bringing out the best and worst in everybody.
See, Nintendo was right.
Yeah, Pokemon Go should. The next update to Pokemon Go will not have accounts. It will now have 48-digit friend codes. That'll sort that out perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Pokemon Go is the problem here so much as it's like a black light.
Yeah, it really just kind of
shined upon the society that plays it.
Yeah.
It's exploiting how stupid people are in general.
Yeah. Did you see the parody video of Pokemon Go called about the Chardonnay Go?
Oh.
No. Yeah. I've seen there's an erotic book already about Pokemon Go.
Oh, that
I'm surprised. Pokemon Let's Go.
Yeah. Let me guess. It's an ebook exclusive on Amazon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who writes a bunch of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you also heard the story about the televangelist warning how Pokemon Go is being used by Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's kind of par for the course these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like televangelists will...
They have to pander to popular culture for their own relevance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this guy's a doctor. He's also a Taekwondo grandmaster from Billings, Montana. PhD at DeVry University in holistic massage.
Hmm. I'm thinking one of these.
Isn't that just another word for quackery?
I don't know. He said,
yeah, probably.
See if Chuck found himself fascinated by all things sensual, leading to his creation of the Tingler. A story so blissfully erotic that it cannot be experienced without eliciting a sharp tingle down the spine.
Okay.
His name is also Chuck Tingle.
So, I'll pass.
There's that.
Dr. Tingle. Oh, that's a Nintendo thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, let's just not go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Speaking of Nintendo, worst segue ever, but what the hell. Nintendo announces their NES Mini Classic console.
That's literally a plug-and-play.
Yeah, they're making a plug-and-play. Interesting thing about this is it's actually a first-party plug-and-play, which, you know, typically doesn't happen. HDMI-based, which usually also doesn't happen, but I guess, you know, in the times we live in right now, you kind of have to do it.
And has controller ports for the Classic Controller Pro.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it comes with an AC adapter, doesn't it?
Yeah, with a micro USB adapter at the end of it. It's basically a cell phone charger, mm-hmm. what it comes with. Yeah, it's... how fast are you going to pre-order this when it hits Amazon?
About the nanosecond it
yeah.
shows up.
Yeah. The sad part is I think Nintendo is going to make more profit on this than they did on the entire run of the Wii U.
It might even correct the problem.
Yeah, and that's both amazing and sad.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I think I got most of these on my Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go over the list of games because this is really impressive from a licensing standpoint.
Okay, yeah, let's take a look at these.
We should just go game by game on this because, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So first and foremost is Balloon Fight.
Yeah.
That's
Nintendo original Satoru Iwata.
Yeah, it's one of those offbeat classics that it's not quite up there with, you know, Mario and Zelda, but those who played it remember it pretty fondly.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say is that if this machine has any kind of more detailed OS than some of these contend to have, then they. I would hope with, especially the game selection being what it is, they would have to have some kind of tribute to Iwata in there somewhere.
Hmm.
Probably.
We'll see.
Let's see. Bubble Bobble.
Yeah. Which is third party, Taito.
Yep.
We got the first two Castlevania games, Castlevania and Castlevania II Simon's Quest.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets interesting.
Those are Konami games.
Konami played ball on this machine.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have to do any work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the ROMs. Do your thing. Well, yeah. Give us the money.
Yeah.
But that is a step up from where they've been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure I would have put Castlevania 2 on there. I probably would have put 1 and 3. But
yeah, but okay. For some reason, there is, weirdly enough, a lot of people who like Castlevania 2.
Yeah.
I'm one of them. I'll admit.
It's not a bad game.
Castlevania 2 of the original Nintendo Power games.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that epitomizes NES obscurity, absurdity. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't tell you really much of what to do.
Yeah.
Just go explore it and figure it out.
Yep.
It was my first Castlevania game, and I played it right on the heels of Zelda 2.
Yeah.
So, to frame this game correctly from how I played it, that helped quite a bit.
Mm.
Okay, so we've also got Donkey Kong.
And Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah.
So,
literally the only game, literally the only Nintendo game ever made where Mario is actually the villain.
Yep.
You got your canonical Donkey Kong tales.
Yeah.
We got Double Dragon 2.
The Revenge, yeah, which is Acclaim and Technos.
Seems like a weird pick at first. But the reason that they didn't go with the original Double Dragon instead is because the original Double Dragon on the NES it was developed when Technos didn't really have a sense of how to get co-op to work on the NES.
Yeah.
So you just took turns playing through the whole game, and it's just like passing the controller back and forth.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Double Dragon 2, meanwhile, has proper co-op, and therefore is a much better fit for this exact project, and I'm sure that was what Arc System Works had in mind when they gave Nintendo the go-ahead.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about that. Then we had Dr. Mario.
Another must.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not just a classic. That's a cult classic.
Yeah. It's not optional.
Yeah, that has to be in there. Excitebike, another absolute must.
Another must.
Yeah. That's no getting around that.
Yeah. Then it starts to get really interesting because we got Final Fantasy.
The original one.
Yeah, which is commanding a pretty good price on eBay right now. So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's a good, legitimate way of getting to play this game without having to spend too much money or getting some of the ports.
If they had to get one RPG from Square Enix, I'm not sure that's the one I would have picked. But on name value alone, I can see why they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they were going for sheer quality, I probably would have said Dragon Quest II.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, part of me thinks if they did that, they would have to do the Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, Dragon Warrior 2.
Yeah.
It's the same game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. So we got that. We got Galaga.
Yeah, which is
literally the first video game I ever played.
Yeah.
Nice.
Great. One of the greatest games ever.
Good place to start.
Yeah.
That was also the first game where I found when I learned, how to cheat. Because I remember that was my daddy taught me that one. It was, figuring out to get the lobster alien to steal your ship and then get double ships.
Yeah.
And then I showed him how to get triple ships.
Yeah.
So what do we got? Ghosts and Goblins?
Yeah. Good Capcom game. Probably one of the, an iconic NES game of that era.
It will also be the number one cause of death of these NES Classic Editions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they look like they fly really good, and this is the game that's going to get people to test that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you thought Super Ghosts and Ghost was hard...
Yeah, this thing is not just hard, it's like brutally unfair because of its
Even when you win, you lose.
Yep.
Yeah. Alright, so let's see, we've also got Gradius.
Yeah, another classic.
Classic shoot 'em up.
Yep.
We've got Ice Climber.
Yep.
I have a feeling the reason they added that is because of Smash Brothers crowd.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because otherwise nobody remembers that game.
Yeah, and it wasn't that fantastic of a game either.
Yeah, but it was alright.
Retroactively, Smash has made it kind of a historical piece that it otherwise probably would have been left in the background with Clue Clue Land and things like that.
Yeah.
Let's see, Kid Icarus?
Yeah, same exact thing going on here.
Well, no, because the Kid Icarus, a lot of people did remember play Kid Icarus, and it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just, but they did probably also include it because of the Smash Bros. Crowd.
Yeah.
Kirby's Adventure.
Yeah.
More really Iwata.
Good. Yeah.
Another Iwata game.
Yeah.
And one of the late games that looked really good back then.
One of my all-time favorite NES titles. I am so glad they got this on here.
All right, we've got Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Bros., the original, the arcade game.
Multiplayer game.
Yes, please.
That was in no way mandatory, so I'm happy to see that they went ahead and included it.
Yeah.
Technically, they'd only have to give a Super Mario Brothers 3, because isn't that a version of that sort of come with it?
Yeah, but it's a one-round
ish.
Game. No, that's true. Okay, Mega Man 2.
Yeah, if you're going to pick any of the Mega Mans, the one to get. So
I'm actually surprised it is only one Mega Man game on here, but they picked the right one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's pretty much the only one everyone actually remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they give Castlevania they two games. They give Castlevania two games, but one to Mega Man.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Also got Metroid.
Yeah.
God help
that
you.
That was a lock.
Yeah.
You have to have Metroid in this collection.
Yeah.
We've got Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. I actually was not expecting. It was not mandatory,
but brilliant.
Yeah.
It's not well, yes and no, because although it isn't necessarily mandatory, the number of firsts that it brought to not just Nintendo, gaming in general kind of makes it a requirement.
Historically, it's very important.
Yeah. I mean, this is literally the first video game where we got cutscenes.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm just saying, historically, it's a very important game.
Yeah.
In the scope of a collection like this, you could have understood if it was left off.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they went out and got it.
Yep.
So let's see. We've got Pac-Man.
Yeah. Not a whole lot to say there.
Not a great version, but
it's better than the Atari version.
Yeah.
Way better. People know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Punch Out featuring Mr. Dream. So this is not the Mike Tyson version.
Yeah,
they're never gonna go to that one again.
Yeah, they'd have to get licensing and stuff, and that would be problematic.
Let's see,
Star Tropics,
and it had to be included.
Yeah,
Star Tropics. Yeah, I remember that one.
Pick.
Yeah,
yeah. This is the top down adventure game, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he's in the ship and he's going to different islands.
Yeah.
Yep, and he's armed with a yo-yo, I think.
Yep, to frame this game correctly, you have to understand, we didn't have A Link to the Past yet.
Yeah.
And a lot of us gamers back then had been through The Legend of Zelda first and second quests numerous times over. We wanted something else to fit into that vein, and Star Tropics comes along and it just absolutely perfectly just checked all the boxes. And I think there was something about how there was a problem with the soundtrack, but I wonder if they'll be fixing that in this. But
yeah, what I'm wondering is how they handled this on Virtual Console, because there was one point in the game where you actually had to immerse one of the pages, you had to immerse the letter to get a code. So how are you going to do that? Or maybe they just give you the code and on the screen somewhere.
Probably in the manual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that was one of the first, major,
breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. Augmented reality? I guess we could really kind of call it that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So let's see. Other than that, we got Super C.
Yeah, another Konami gem.
That's Contra, I'm guessing.
Yeah, very interesting pick.
Yeah. I probably would have picked the original Contra to go on there, but, I'm not mad at Super C. I actually quite like that game.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah, and then it had a fantastic soundtrack.
Yes.
And let's see, after that, of course, we got the first three Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, which, are musts.
I might have gone with Lost Levels instead of quote-unquote 2, but that's just personal preference, and I can see why they went with it like this.
Yeah.
And finally, at the very end, we got Tech Ball.
Oh, that's not the very end.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two more after that. Tecmo Bowl, though, is amazing. Yeah, it's I'm looking at this list. I think actually the only sports game on here.
Yeah,
and
but you had to have it.
A good one.
Yeah, yeah.
It is such an iconic part of just the experience of playing on the NES back in the day.
Yeah,
and you can pretty much, and if you know how to play, you can pretty much beat anyone just by going to.
Just get the ball to Bo Jackson. That's all you
got. Yeah, just give it to Bo Jackson. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
The game beats itself at that point.
It was also the game that invented sports game trolling.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, we've got the two Zelda games.
Zelda 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Again, no question on those two. They had to be there.
Yeah.
There could have been rioting in the streets if they hadn't.
Yeah. So
this comes with a NES controller.
Yep.
Or something, classic controller.
NES controller that connects to the Wii Remote socket. So
$10 for a second one that you can also use on Wii or Wii U.
Yep.
Yeah.
It also supports save states, so I'm guessing this is a version of the Wii U.
Yeah.
That is in this thing. It's not the full. Imagine not like.
It's Wii U based or something.
It's just good enough to run the Wii U virtual console stuff.
I want to get my hands on one to actually see it, because I actually suspect it's something more akin to a Raspberry Pi.
That's what I'm thinking.
Probably something like that running the OS.
Yeah, one of those things running emulator. It will be typically when you get these kind of plug and play systems, there's usually like Easter eggs and hidden stuff that you can find.
Yeah.
So these are the 30 games that are listed, but it's
completely possible. We got a couple more on there.
Yeah. So.
Like that'll reveal itself if you complete the other ones.
Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be something for the Konami code on the title screen?
You kind of have to.
Maybe that's how you get, like, Life Force or Castlevania 3.
Maybe.
Or Contra would be a good one for that.
Or Ninja Gaiden 2.
Yes.
That would be another one.
Here's how it looks on HDTVs.
Hmm.
That's the big thing about playing these old games on HDTVs.
Yeah. Well, through emulation, you can get it to look pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
while we're doing that, here is a question. Imagine if they do these for a SNES.
I'm absolutely sure they're going to do it.
Then they need Konami to remain agreeable, because their services will be required for such a project.
Yeah.
But, I don't see why Konami wouldn't be agreeable, because they don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So they make a SNES. Other than sort of the obvious, like, Super Mario World and Link to the Past. What would you have on there?
Legend of the Mystical Ninja on the subject of Konami.
Yeah, Super Castlevania 4 on the subject of Konami.
Yeah, that's essential.
Yeah, gotta have, Link to the Past has to be on there.
Chrono Trigger?
Yeah, that would be a tough one to get.
But yeah.
You'd have to get it.
What about,
you would get Final Fantasy 4.
Or 2, as we
know it.
I'd like to get Final Fantasy 3 or 6, but that one would be kind of tough.
It would guarantee that they would sell systems faster than they could make them.
Well, then that would be an incentive for them to put it on there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm going to go way off the grid here.
Mm-hmm.
Super Tennis.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, of course, we have, what about Earthbound?
Yeah,
another one of those for the Smash crowd.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Well, if they are releasing it on everything, on the Wii U and 3DS, it seems like that would be.
Yeah,
obviously.
I'd also put the original Star Fox there too.
Yeah, Super Metroid I put on there.
Depends on how they get the FX chip. Mm. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
The Pi can handle that now. So if they're just building a specific. Board for
but their virtual they're using their virtual console OS essentially.
Yeah,
that hasn't.
We don't really
do
know
it yet.
That yet, though. We'll have to see, because could be.
It's pretty much given they're going to make a SNES. So.
Yeah, and since it doesn't support physical media, and people are going to want more of this stuff, they've already got a path for doing a second version.
Yeah, with
the top loaderness.
Yeah.
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 So.
Which personally, I think is superior to the side loader.
It works better anyway.
Yeah. Not as big a risk of dust, honestly.
Yeah. So they could do that. I think they'll probably end up doing an N64 version of this as well.
Might be a little tough, but they could. It off.
Yeah, they probably pulled it off.
A lot of its better games are licensed stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
the wrestling and GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Stuff that Microsoft owns now.
Yeah, which would be a problem, but
Yeah, I don't think you'd get to 30 games.
Yeah.
10 if you're lucky.
Yeah. Wave Race would have to be on it.
Yeah, Wave Race would have to be on it. Star Fox 64 would have to be on it.
Super Mario 64. Obviously. Ocarina of Time.
Put a Mario Party on there?
Yeah. One of them.
I have no experience with the series, but I think Mario Party 2 is the one that...
Yeah, it would... pretty much. The first one is kind of meh. Yeah. And also, the first one had... The thing about the second one that immediately made it better was the fact that, unlike the first game, it didn't have any of the mini games that involved you having to put your hand palm first onto the analog stick and roll it around.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically nerve damage there.
That's also controller damaging.
Yeah, that's what I was...
So
I have seen so many controllers die to that. That's one of the main reasons I have never owned a Mario Party game.
Your controllers got Mario Partied.
Yeah.
Would this be the first essentially emulated 64 stuff as far as like special consoles as we've seen
the ones that do
NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis, all that?
Yeah, so far.
I think that there is an emulated Genesis, like a plug-and-play Genesis, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a few of them, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the Hyperkin stuff that has three or four consoles in it at once.
Yeah. So, I'm buying one.
Oh, I will second the nanosecond it shows up on Amazon. You can believe it.
Yeah. So, moving on to that. Interesting news. I don't know if you guys follow Metal Jesus Rocks on YouTube. If you don't, you should, because he's a really cool guy. So he was looking for a 64DD.
That's the disk drive system for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, came out in Japan only, or so we thought. Well, it didn't actually come out in the U.S., and that's the interesting thing. He went on Craigslist to find one, found one, and gets it home. Huh, this is interesting.
It's a rare U.S., specific retail prototype.
Yeah.
For one thing, shows that they were definitely planning to bring it over here.
Yeah.
I would have bought one.
Yeah. And there was, a little disc in there. Can't actually access it, do anything with it, but it's there.
Yeah.
So, he put a call out to anyone in the N64 communities if they can dump that disc. And
find out what's on it.
Yeah, find out what's on it, because it could be a retail game that never came out.
Yeah. He's been able to at least confirm that it's real U.S. thing.
Yeah.
Could be a demo disc.
Based on what was available on the 64 in North America, and... what would have most likely been front and center on the 64DD in North America? I'm going to just kind of speculate that it's the F-Zero X expansion.
It could have been that. It might have also been another copy of that Super Mario 64DD. You never know.
And they only had like 10 games released for it, so...
Yeah. And at that time, I think that's probably before... the Master Quest was being
developed. So, I didn't think of that one.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, what were some things that actually came out for the DD?
There was a suite of Mario like creation apps.
Yeah, Mario Artist, Doshin the Giant, RantNet Disc. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it was
another Mario Artist game.
Yeah.
SimCity 64. F-Zero X expansion kit, Japan Pro Golf Tour 64, Doshin the Giant Tinkling Toddler Liberation Front Assemble.
Well, that's, they would have had to change
drug tests for everybody.
Mario Artist Communication Kit, Mario Artist Polygon Studio.
Hmm.
The other ones are Paint Studio and Talent Studio.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff. And
if we can find out if there's anything on that disc.
Well, we'll find out. he's got a pretty good subscriber base, and as far as anybody who like really deserves to find kind of this stuff. I think, you know, Metal Jesus is probably, you know, one of the most worthy. Seems like super nice guy. So
they got a list of proposed titles, supposedly.
Yeah.
There's like Diablo on there. Dragon Warrior 7. I don't know how reliable any of this is, but Fire Emblem 64, Kirby 64, Mario Party 2, Other 3, Earthbound 64.
Yeah.
Ogre Battle.
Yeah.
Pokemon 64. Pokemon RPG. Quest 64. Resident Evil 0. Seaman. I don't know how that would have happened before it even came out on Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Super Mario 64 2.
For everybody.
Yeah,
Super Mario RPG 2. Tetris Attack. Tetris Wars.
Yeah, some of these are like more likely than others. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Expansion for Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
That's high up on the possibility list, actually. Otherwise known as Master Quest.
Yeah. I give it 2 weeks before we know for sure.
Yeah.
Right. So many of the people speculating have their heads in the clouds, though.
Yeah.
Like, this disc is not going to be the home to some super secret project that would have sold millions of copies but got canceled for no good reason without getting moved to the 64.
Yeah.
Right.
This was a port of something that already existed in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what's on it, but whatever it is, we already know of it.
Yeah. My guess, you know, the most likely for me, and my guess would have been SimCity.
Mm.
Yeah. But that's
still kind of interesting to think, like, the counter to the PlayStation Saturn was a floppy disk drive.
Yeah, it was basically a zip disk. 150 megabyte diskettes. Yay. Yeah,
am I the only one here who had one of those drives?
Yeah, I had one. Yeah.
They were handy for a time.
Yeah.
Until your CD burners became the king.
Yeah. Until they started becoming affordable. Yeah. I remember when I got my first CD burner, and it was like a double-speed writer, and I would start a burn, and then I would hold my breath until it was done, because if you so much as looked at it sideways, it would fail.
They were loud as hell, too.
Nah, we're going to that
one. I had, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
You could hear it writing to it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right.
Now we don't have disk drives at all.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, speaking of disk drives, so after about 20 years or so, the copy protection on the Sega Saturn has finally been cracked.
Yep.
For the most hilarious of reasons.
Yeah, this guy... Dr. What's his name?
Abrasive.
Yeah. Dr. Abrasive, who's anything but, by the way. Yeah, wanted to do chiptunes on Saturn. And he had to go a really long way to get there. Holy crap.
He wanted to get his hands on the sound chip and ended up cracking the system.
Yeah. So, yeah, he basically did a whole lot of reverse engineering, you know, basically dumped the CD controller ROM, figured out how that worked, and then decided, well, that wasn't really a way to do it. So he started poking around at the MPEG decoder chip that you could get as a separate cartridge plugged into the back of the Saturn. Didn't come out in the US, by the way, so yeah, most people didn't even know about it. And discovered some very interesting random blob of code at the start of it. And it's like, this is interesting. Why is there a blob of decrypted random code here? Well, encrypted random code. So I managed to decrypt that, figure out what it was, and then decided, well, I'm not going to do a mod chip here, because that would be dumb, because we're ending up with the same problem of drives dying anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to write my own emulator for the CD drive, and that's what he did. He basically created like an EverDrive flash variant for the Saturn. And the interesting part of this, and the form that he wants it to take when it's ready to go, will just be a plug-in module that plugs into the back of your Saturn, and you just plug a USB stick into it. That's a really elegant way of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. hats off to Dr. Abrasive for this one, because this is really, really cool, and it's about time.
One of the best pieces of preservation work ever done.
Yeah, yeah, and the fruits of that labor are starting to pay off already, as the Saturn emulation authors are benefiting from his work. He's sharing that back with them, so now they have a full list of commands and how the controller works, how the timings work. So you can expect Sega Saturn emulation to get a lot better very quickly.
Yeah, and, which is good, because Sega Saturn emulation has been ass up to this point.
Yeah.
It's been bad.
Yeah,
especially for a system that was kind of slapdash thrown together at the last minute.
Yeah,
trying to keep up with the PS1.
Yeah, he calls it over-engineered. That's kind of a very diplomatic way of putting it.
Yeah. Fortunately, now it'll only be a matter of time before you'll be able to play Panzer Dragoon on your PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you had one of those NVIDIA ND1 boards back in the day.
Oh, God.
yeah. Those were interesting, but kind of doomed to failure. But
yeah.
So, yeah, cool stuff. We got Square Enix's president, Yusuke Matsuda, has been, well, having some fun with Overwatch.
Yep. Calls out Sony Interactive Entertainment staff, Marita specifically, to an Overwatch match. This after Marita called Matsuda out on Black Ops 3 and had the whole challenge backfire because Matsuda apparently plays a lot of these games in his spare time.
I'm surprised he has spare time.
Yeah, well, he's got a kind of... Based on what he's said about his own vision for Square Enix, I think he's just kind of hanging back for a while until Final Fantasy XV comes out.
Yeah, until that implodes, and then he can start doing things again.
Really putting Tokyo RPG Factory into full swing and so on. But Morita challenged Matsuda to Black Ops 3, got bodied, and now Matsuda wants to play Overwatch.
Yeah. And I suspect the outcome will be largely the same.
Yeah.
And probably videotape.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of fun to see these execs having some fun like that.
Yeah.
Public, so. Yeah, this is not the same. This is not the 16-bit era anymore, where they were at each other's throats. There's some fun being had here,
yeah.
And I like to see that.
And there's just something fun about having these, you know, big corporate executives basically, sort of, you know, calling each other out over first-person shooters. It's just,
I think I know why too. Because back in the day when everyone was at each other's throats, these were basically old-school corporations with old-school management making products for an audience that they had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Now that audience has grown up and they've become the executives.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool stuff. All right. So Evo 2016 is happening right now.
Yep.
We could be watching the streams right now, and I probably will be tuning into them as soon as since we're done the show. But
To watch Street Fighter V finals on ESPN tonight.
Yeah, aren't they streaming that as well?
Yeah, they're going to be streaming everything.
I don't have no.
They're going to be streaming all of the things.
Yeah. So yeah, it's SNK sent their delegation out there and
had a panel.
Yeah, had a panel, and they're basically, you know, kind of reiterated what they're all about.
Yep. They want to revive a whole bunch of their old IPs. They want to make some new IPs, which I kind of wonder if that statement was directly pertaining to the recent Dragon's Heaven leak. That would be interesting if they were acknowledging that.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, they sent a whole group of developers out. Oda was there, Neo G was there, Ogura, Watanabe. They sent more people than they had to, really. It was they're taking this seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, they said that they want to do a new Samurai Showdown game, and
they reiterated that.
Yeah. they would like Neo G to make it. I don't have a problem with this at all. I actually don't have a problem with anything that SNK has been doing lately.
Yeah, the quote from Watanabe was he said he wanted to make a new Samurai Showdown with Neo G and a new Garo led by Oda. I'm kind of the other way around on it.
Yeah.
I want to see a new Garo made by Neo G.
That would be pretty cool.
Considering Neo G was the mind behind Third Strike.
Yeah.
And then I want Samurai Showdown made by Oda.
Now you know they're both going to be collaborating. So
I'd love them to make another Last Blade and get Arc System Works to help do it.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Since, I mean, Ishii Watari was... did a lot of work on the original. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I suspect that's probably in the cards, too.
Maybe not right away, but down the line.
Yeah. But yeah, so very cool stuff. And kind of to go along with that, they also announced Garo is coming to the PS4 and the PS Vita.
Yay!
I don't see any problems with this whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Now, the thing is, a lot of people who don't know this, Garo is sort of a kind of a sequel to the Fatal Fury series. It's basically to Fatal Fury what Mortal Kombat 10 is to Mortal Kombat, in that it ages some of its original cast and brings in some of the children of the other cast.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, Terry Bogard is in it, but he doesn't wear his traditional cap or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the first appearance of Rock Howard.
Yep. Now, anyone who's seen the design of Terry Bogard with the brown jacket, that's where it comes from.
Yep.
Yeah. Given that they've already done Last Blade on PS4, and that turned out pretty good.
Yep. Just as long as the port isn't Dreamcast-based, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see why it would need to be.
So. Yeah, that I don't know what went wrong there, but that port was horrible.
It's like...
So much went wrong with the Dreamcast version of Garo.
Yeah, but remember the time in SNK's history when that was going on, so...
It's true.
Stuff, crap was happening there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love everything about SNK right now. It's like, I want to compare this to Square Enix in particular, which is a company that both wants to make traditional RPGs, but also tells us that traditional RPGs suck. And they've got their own mixed message. They don't really know what they're doing. They want to make games for the fans, but then they don't. They want to make the big AAA games.
Yeah.
This is completely different from SNK, who is making the games that people actually want.
They're just going to do what they want, release it, and make of it what you will.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is awesome to see. The future is now, and I'm all for it. So, in sadder news, apparently there's some IP... kerfuffle going on with Bethesda as far as Fallout 4 goes. Chris, you want to wrap?
Yes. So there's a modder who made a mod on Fallout New Vegas called Autumn Leaves that he worked on for a couple years. Released it last fall, and he's accusing Bethesda of essentially ripping him off for a quest in the fairly recent Fallout 4 add-on Far Harbor, which is called Brain Dead. Task the player with solving a mystery, murder mystery, within a hotel. In his mod, it's a group of wealthy men came together to build a library where the history and culture could be preserved. The library is transformed to a vault where one man accidentally got trapped inside earlier than anticipated, so he made robots to safeguard the library. Had unique personalities and all that. And this article on Kotaku, the author Patricia Hernandez sort of watched all the footage she could and played the quest in Fallout 4, and sort of comes to collusion that there's some similarities. The list and such that, and the screenshots that the modder provided, sort of makes it look like an exact copy, because that's his agenda, to make it look as obvious as possible. And she comes away with that there's some similarities, but pretty much at most, it seems more like a inspiration, potentially at best.
Yeah, but these kinds of things, they kind of happen every now and then, because it's hard to do something that's completely original.
Yeah.
Without basically, you know, even if they weren't aware of the mod, there is always the chance that elements could be similar.
Yeah, like the writer of this particular quest could have been inspired by it, want to make something similar, but...
Or he could have been inspired by a book that was similar. You know,
yeah, it's not exactly a hugely original idea.
Yeah.
Not really much here, but he wants, at the very least, like some sort of credit or nod in the credits.
Yeah. Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
That's a really, really hard one to prove. Unless, of course, you're Orion, which is really, really easy to prove.
These screenshots seem to prove is that Bethesda likes to reuse assets as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, they have to. It's just too much to produce otherwise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good luck there. Okay, we got another weird one here. Chris.
Yeah, so Star Citizen has been one of the... Well, it's probably the biggest crowdfunded game. It's out right now. I think it's over 100 million at this point. 117 million.
Yep.
And, yeah, we've covered the story in the past.
Yeah, so one of the backers who has made a request for a refund from the developer Cloud Imperium Games has got rebuffed. Because they usually give a 14-day window for refunds. And obviously he was not having put his... I'm trying to see when he did it. Like a year or so before this. Their terms of service gives even 18 months outside. I think he did 2 years before. But so being rebuffed... all of his avenues, just with the developer itself, sort of went to outside help. And probably talked to Better Business Bureau and some of those others, but also got in touch with the State of California Attorney General, who helped him out and managed to get a refund for him.
Yeah,
the amount of $2,500. It's $2,560.
So... That's how much he spent on Star Citizen?
He says 3,000, but so far he's only gotten 2,560 of it back. He got in like three payments, $916.50 and then $10.
I'm sorry, but I'm not spending $3,000 on a game.
Yeah.
No.
Ever.
Especially one that's not out yet.
Yeah.
Very much that's a big part of their... businesses, these huge money bundles are like, oh, you can get all of the vehicles that we're offering in 2015 for $24,000. It's I guess the developer's sort of spoken up a little bit. Says any refunds with respect to Star Citizen are made on a discretionary basis. There's nothing special about this situation. That they went out through outside means doesn't really make it any different.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Yeah. So if you've got buyer's remorse, you'll have to go outside of the comp, most likely to get your money back.
Yeah.
But for them, for the developers, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're sitting on, you know, millions of dollars right now.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not entirely... like, Star Citizen is a really ambitious project.
Yeah.
What they've delivered so far is actually good. But yeah, I think it kind of rubs some people the wrong way that, you know, they're paying for all of this stuff. And yeah, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of skeezy. In some,
at this point, I don't see any reason to put money into it till there's something concrete that you can get forth.
Yeah, because, yeah, it's like this game is something that may actually never be finished because it's just so huge in scope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sort of waiting for them to get their modules done.
Yeah.
At least get, like, the first one or two of them out of there.
Yeah. At least say it's, you know, good enough for a retail release. Right now, still, they're still beta.
Yeah.
Beta. So, yeah. So, another story that's been in the news is the Counter-Strike Go gambling sites, you know, CSGO Lotto and their ilk. I'm wondering why Valve hasn't said anything.
Valve finally did something.
Yeah. They say, no API key for you. Why it took so long, I don't know. But, yeah, I think, no, it's kind of the only response they could have made, to be honest.
Yeah, because the API itself doesn't allow you to do any of this trading stuff. It just lets you verify what these people own.
Yeah.
And they find some other means outside of Steam's control to actually institute the gambling and the trading process.
Yeah. So,
but a lot of this outrage was putting Valve right in the crossfires with them.
Yeah, they're still facing a lawsuit, so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I could see there being some aspect to it that they're responsible for, but being like right up there with the two guys running the site, not telling people that they were running it.
Yeah, well, there's skeezy stuff going on there. So, actually, that's like I think in the U.S. completely illegal on several fronts.
Yeah,
that site is also based on Florida.
Yeah, before they tried to trick people into thinking they had disclaimers out beforehand.
Yeah, nope.
Like they're saying no, 13 and up. No way, no, it's 18. Yeah. You always meant 18.
Yeah. So skeezy. And, well, Florida.
Yeah.
Not that everybody in Florida is skeezy. It's just, it seems
been
to,
there.
Yeah, it seems to breed skeez sometimes. So, yeah. Yeah. We'll probably follow this one and see how it goes, because it could be pretty, you know, damaging to Valve if they end up losing the suit. It could also be, you know, open the door to a whole lot of other gambling if they lose this suit. So that's a problem. Yeah. Well, actually, if Valve wins it, that suit, it could open the door to a lot more of this gambling stuff. So, yeah. To be continued, no doubt.
Yeah.
So, Pat, you want to tell us what Team Ninja's been up to?
Yeah, one of their creative directors, Tom Lee, has been talking with, I'm not sure if he talked directly to PvP Live or, yeah, he did. And the whole interview is really good. I recommend reading it in its entirety, but one of the main bullet points of the interview was that crossover gaming has just reached a point where there's no end in sight, and it's going to be a thing moving forward, and you can see it. Everything that DOA itself is doing, everything that, you know, we've got Akuma in Tekken 7.
Yeah.
Just all these crossover projects going on. They're talking about adding, you know, we've got bonus characters in Mortal Kombat 10.
Yeah, and we've got crossover characters, Killer Instinct.
Yep. So. And basically the idea here is that there's just no end in sight.
Yeah.
I've made my feelings known about this.
Yeah.
I think there's a place for crossovers in gaming, absolutely. But I definitely see a difference between outright crossovers and just bonus characters. And I think I think Soul Calibur 2 ruined that the instant they started it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's an interesting topic for sure.
Yeah, which dovetails really nicely into our discussion of the week. So,
yes.
Have frequent crossovers undermine the entire concept of them?
Yeah. So the idea is basically games like X-Men versus Street Fighter, Capcom versus SNK owe as much to the sheer impossibility of their existence as to the quality of the final product. These were games that just because licensing was a lot more difficult back in the day, and also due to the fact that it just wasn't happening at all. You know, these games were special because it was so monumental, so difficult to make happen, that when it finally did, these were games that jumped straight to front and center. Just, they were prominent just by being what they were. And now, what Tom Lee over at Team Ninja is saying is correct. They're not just possible, they're inevitable. And that's for better or worse. Your mileage may vary on whether the bar has actually been lowered, but it's not rare anymore by any means. And that's what we're seeing today with Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, DOA. You know, it's almost like it's expected to bring in guest characters. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a difference between a full crossover and guest appearances.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's like you see the Arbiter or Rash and whoever inside in Killer Instinct. That's fine because there's really not a whole lot of context there. He's just doing his thing. Where I see like things going is like I think Akuma in Tekken 7 is actually a really good example of a crossover, rather than just a guest character, because he is being fully integrated into the storyline.
Yeah,
you know.
And for those listening who don't know, Akuma has actually been Kazumi Mishima's sort of go-to. She's the one who made a deal with Akuma to stop Heihachi. And that's kind of an important aspect of the Tekken storyline in general.
Yeah.
That, so Akuma is forever going to be at least that part of the Tekken lore.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, I think the impact of a crossover has kind of been dulled a little bit by all of these guest characters, but at the same time, you know, I still would like to see them. I mean, the one that we all want to see is really Street Fighter cross Mortal Kombat.
I don't know if I'd say we all want to see it. I think it's the only thing that lives up to the impossibility factor.
Yeah.
That match up to what games like X-Men versus Street Fighter were back in the day. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, but so I mean, at the same time, you got, you know, stuff here like SMT Crossfire Emblem, which, you know, is ludicrous in its own concept. So, you know, I think there's still room there for these kind of weird crossovers that just defy all logic and impossibility. The fact that they're easier for them to happen, I think, is a good thing. It just means that developers have to be smarter about how they do it.
Yeah.
You know, just because you can doesn't
mean
you should. Yeah.
And I think, I don't think we've reached the point where there's that consciousness about it.
Yeah.
Right now they're just saying cross over all the things and let the chips fall where they may. Hopefully we're going to see that die down pretty soon and just make them special again. Make them actual momentous occasions. Because I don't get the same feeling from seeing bonus characters showing up in Killer Instinct that I got from Capcom versus SNK the first time I played it.
Yeah. So, Brian, you have any thoughts on this?
Well, honestly, if you want to know what it looks like when you got far too many crossover characters at once, well, that's how you get Mugen, and nobody wants Mugen.
No,
that's a good example of things that just because you can, you shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But
you don't need Scorpion fighting Charizard. Even though you can do it, you shouldn't.
Now, the idea of Scorpion fighting Ryu.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Scorpion versus Ryu.
How they would pull it off.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the two games, their playing styles are so different.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's the obvious, you know, fighting game that they both, you know, well, obviously Mortal Kombat kind of fed off of Street Fighter 2. But, I mean, there's other things, too, like finishing moves, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, because what I'm afraid of is you'll end up having, like, what happened with Mortal Kombat versus Universe.
Yeah, it's just kind of turn that into the ridiculous stupidity that it was.
Well, that was just what Midway was at the time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a difference between Midway and NetherRealm.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more than just the name.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Like, the question is, would Capcom be okay with having Sub-Zero ripping off Ryu's head?
Obviously not.
That's probably where the problem lies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could maybe do something like they did with Injustice where they had Scorpion as a guest character.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you're playing a Mortal Kombat game or anything with a Mortal Kombat character, there's a certain expectation that goes along with it.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And, you know, I just...
Now, they've compromised on this in the past. They had to for DC Universe.
Yeah. And the results were kind of wimpy.
Yeah.
But do you think that they would make that compromise again to make Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter happen?
Only
that's the price they have to pay to make something as potentially special as that. Do they do it?
You know, that would depend on would they be able to make something that potentially special, but also would they be willing to sacrifice some of the things that makes that franchise special to begin with?
Yeah,
and
that's the essential. That's the essential.
There's another
conflict here.
Yeah. There's another conflict, too, and this is more of a mechanical standpoint. Which block mechanism do you go with?
Yeah.
Because that's important.
Well, the first few Mortal Kombats, they had, you know, press something to block.
Yeah, it was a block button.
Yeah.
And that's what they're still using.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, in Street Fighter, it's just...
Back.
Yeah.
And that's important because
it changes the whole play style.
Yeah, it enables something called cross-ups, which are a huge part of Street Fighter. And if you want to go with a block button, Mortal Kombat style, you're removing that entire facet of the game.
Yeah. Well, if they did that, they could have a, you know, well, options menu where cross-ups could be enabled.
Yeah.
But that, which would require, you know, taking away the block button.
Yeah.
Just using the press back block mechanic.
It would be difficult, but
it's not impossible.
Yeah.
It would require some thinking and a definitely good skill of play testing, but I think, you know, if they really set their mind to it, they could pull it off.
Yeah. I mean, if as flawed as Street Fighter Cross Tekken was, some of those mechanics did work really well.
Yep.
So, you know, there's potential there.
I think Street Fighter Cross Tekken gets more hate than it deserves, honestly.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, well, they kind of brought a lot of it on themselves with that whole gem system.
Yeah.
That was just, that was dumb. But yeah. Chris, you got thoughts on this?
I really like it when they can do crossover stuff, but do it smartly. Not just like, I think kind of like what Mortal Kombat's been doing with the Predator and Alien stuff is kind of a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of what they're going for.
The thing is, though, with like the Predator and Alien and all that, that at least makes sense within the context of
thematically.
The map. Because, you know, Mortal Kombat by its nature is dark and bloody and gruesome. So the idea of having, you know, iconic horror cinema characters get involved makes sense.
So now at this point, it's now more of an expectation than just a special
anything
thing.
Else.
Yeah.
So now they can't probably make another Mortal Kombat without people talking about, like, what horror people can we get in this one now?
Yeah.
And you're going to get to the point where you're putting the trolls or the goblin people from those movies in there.
Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Haven't they done Leatherface yet?
Yeah, they've done Leatherface already.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I'm waiting for them to do like Pinhead.
Yeah.
Some of the little guys from the Puppetmaster.
Yeah.
Having stuff like Mai in Dead or Alive 5 is actually really smart because it's like she was like a Dead or Alive character before Dead or Alive thing.
That's actually what I said last week was that
he was Dead or Alive before, you know, Itagaki was doing Dead or Alive. Yep. So
yeah,
it's like
it's basically the forebear of all the character of that entire type of character.
Yeah,
yep. Her sprite was like the epitomization of what the ridiculous move physics are in Dead or Alive right now, where they have multiple options for what you want out of that.
Yeah.
Seeing my Shiranui's giggle for the first time in, you know, Fatal Fury is kind of, it was an experience.
Yeah. Seeing how it didn't really change over the last, like, 15 years.
No, it hasn't
after that.
Really. Well,
except when they went 3D.
Well, if it ain't broken.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the way they did Akuma in Tekken 7.
Yeah.
From what I've heard of people playing that, said he pretty much plays like he does in Street Fighter.
See, that's what I don't like about him.
Because it's... The thing is, if
it's
you
Tekken.
Play... Yeah, it's Tekken, and playing a Street Fighter character in Tekken is kind of cheating.
Yeah, well, I think he still has his projectile.
Yeah, well,
and he can easily sidestep.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, if a character in Tekken is going to have a projectile attack, he has to be a boss character.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it seems like they're doing.
Or it has to be super weak. Well, Akuma isn't a boss.
Yeah.
He's mean monster.
Treating him kind of like that. Especially like the way they're doing their story mode, sort of being able to break away from fights to these like little QTE sequences.
Yeah.
And we'll do just like this ridiculous stuff. Especially doing it better than how Street Fighter adapted to the Mortal Kombat style of story mode.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like Tekken has their shit in gear.
Yeah, Tekken has been doing storylines like this, you know, cinematic stuff for years.
So you kind of had to do
pretty much for
like
pretty
weird
much from the beginning, really.
Third person action modes, and weird stuff like that.
Some of that stuff hasn't really been all that well executed, but you know, at least it hasn't been that much of a problem.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
as long as it doesn't bleed into the main game, I think it's fine.
Yeah, it was always just a side mode, so.
And
remember when you used to play Tekken just so you could get the Anne's ending?
Yeah.
So you could see how many people got thrown into volcanoes.
And mostly he just wanted to see the brief nudity, mostly.
Yeah, I played, you know, and unlocked all of the endings in Tekken Tag Tournament 1 just so I could get Tekken Bowl mode. So that was a thing that you could do.
Yep.
And then they turned that into an iOS app.
Yep.
That's probably a YouTube channel.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I guess that's pretty much as good a place as any to leave it for this week.
Good show.
Yeah, good show. I guess we'll be talking to you guys next week. Remember, if you're not subscribed to the show, you can pick us up on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you like to grab your podcasts.
And join the Facebook group.
Yep, join the Facebook group, facebook.com/dayzerounpdate. We're there. You can interact with us. Please interact with us. We like to hear what you have to say. So, with that, I am Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And we'll see you all next week.